Good morning. A warm welcome to everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and it's particularly good to be here today because we started the day off with some good news about that little boy from Sparwood, BC, little Keenan. He's been returned home, and he seems to be relatively unharmed. And so what a joy, what a blessing, what an answer to prayer. Isn't that great? And so our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers are with the with his family today, and our prayers are also with those who gather in New York City on this anniversary of that terrorist attack in 2001, what we now call 9/11. They gather, they have ceremonies, and our thoughts are with them and our prayers. And so anyway, it's great to be here. It's great to see everyone. We will be celebrating birthdays very shortly. If you had a birthday in August or prior to that and we missed you, then it is your opportunity to shine. Lurie, thank you.
Good morning. We have a number of announcements this morning, so bear with me here. First of all, one that is not in the bulletin, library books. There are two that are actually missing from the library, and their cards are missing as well. And they are Falling from Heaven by Mickey Robinson and Soul Survivor by Philip Yancey. And if you have those books, if you could just let Corrine know, she has book reviews for both of them that she'd like to put with them. And when she went to add the book reviews, the books weren't there. So we will be looking for those books. So if you have them, just let Corrine know. Sunday school, it begins another year today. If you could please pray for our Sunday school volunteers and all of the students and young people for this next year ahead. And with that, Susan has a little announcement to make.
Good morning. Yes, Sunday school starts today. So for those of you who are volunteering with us, we thank you yet again for your time and your energy, because Andy and I sure couldn't do it without your help. We will start with our three classes again this year. So we will have our preschool class, which is ages 2 and up towards kindergarten, not including kindergarten. We do ask that if you have really young children, ages around 2, that are in the class, that we may need your assistance with that, because sometimes those little ones take one-on-one attention. And when we only have one teacher in the class, she then can't, or he can't, do all that he needs to do with the other children. So if you do have a young one and they're in the class, please be aware that we might need your assistance once in a while. We also have our K to 2 class and then our grades 3 to 6 class. So if you're in any of those grades, please join us this morning. We also have cake after church. I bought 2 big cakes, and there's not very many people here today, so there's going to be a lot of cake for everybody to eat today. So please join us for cake after church. We're going to be doing starting our preparations for our Christmas program probably in about October, so if you're interested in helping us with that, we would appreciate that as well. And I'm also going to be sending home a little prayer calendar that I found for the kids to pray for your child or your grandchild every day, and it's very, very specific to that. So we're going to be sending that home with the children today as well. So again, thank you to our volunteers, and thank you to our kids, and we're excited to start a new year.
Thank you, Susan. I noticed some of you this morning already seeing the food bank donation tubs that are in the foyer. This is for our Thanksgiving collection for the the Olds Food Bank. And so your donations can just be placed in these tubs in the foyer. On Tuesday, September 13th at 7, the church calendar planning meeting. So if you would come, you are welcome to contribute to our yearly calendar of events. Church Leadership Workshop is coming up this coming Saturday, September 17th, and this will be with the National Pastor, Reverend David Schrader, and it begins at 10 and goes until 3, lunch being provided by Diana Page, so it will be a great day. On Tuesday, September 27th, it is the official church board meeting at 7:30, and mark that down on your calendar to attend. Lara Flea's donations, just make note of the address in the bulletin. Nicole Lacey has just asked if anybody wishes to make a donation to send it directly to the Missions Foundation in Calgary. Since we are no longer doing the mustard seed, there are a number, quite a number of containers in the mustard seed room. So if you have had a container here or several containers, if you could please gather those up. We need to get that cleared out. And Kathy has an announcement from the Ladies Christian Fellowship.
Lots of announcements with everything getting started. I just want to give you a few announcements from the Ladies Christian Fellowship. We meet Thursdays, the second Thursday of the month at 2 o'clock, and we have several projects that the church needs to know about. We're collecting coats for kids. So if you have coats, children's coats or even adult coats that have that you need mending or you can't use anymore, please leave them in the bins in front, just inside the front doors there, and we'll mend them and clean them and get them to people that can use them. We're making another banner for up here, and that project is going to happen on October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you're interested, you can come and talk to one of the members. Also, I want to remind you that we collect postage stamps and Campbell Soup labels. The postage stamps, please just tear it off with a good border and we'll trim them up to the right size. There's a container out on the credenza that you can put those in. And Campbell Soup labels, just take the whole label off the can and just bring them, and there's a box down beside the credenza to put those in. The postage stamps go to as a fundraiser to the Canadian Bible Society, and we deliver them down there. And the soup labels go to help projects for our local school. So we ask you for that. And I also wanted to remind you, we have a little column that goes into the Hitching Post magazine every other week. And in it, we try to put the upcoming events. So keep an eye out for that. If you have forgotten what's coming up, that's a place you might be able to find out. Thank you.
And Pat has one last announcement.
Good morning. Back in June, I mentioned that I thought I was getting a shove in the direction to get back into theater in one form or another, and because Joseph had been sitting in my head, I assumed that that's where I was to go. However, that is not the direction. I did receive our answer from Rodgers and Hammerstein. They want $1,200 for the license, and that could be something that could be surmountable, I think, but what can't be is that they have restricted the rehearsal period to 8 weeks. Now, an 8-week rehearsal period for a show the size of Joseph would mean commitments of probably 4 to 5 nights a week, and that's not going to happen. I'm not asking anybody else to do it, and I have no intentions of doing it. So, and I think also that perhaps my own wishes were bigger than the congregation's. I did notice that we were pretty short of a cast as well. And so I'm thinking that I need to move in a slightly different direction. So I've met with a couple of people, and ideas are going to be forthcoming. So I guess the best thing I can say to you is keep your eye on the bulletin. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Pat. When Kathy mentioned Campbell's soup labels, it reminded me that to pass on to you the good wishes from the people, not at Campbell's Soup, but at Campbell River, at Radiant Life Church, because Iris and I were up there, and we had a great time with them, and they just love our congregation. They really appreciate the support that we give to them, and in financial terms and in prayer terms, and they send their love and good wishes and grateful thanks to our congregation. So that's great. I had to pass that on to you. So now let's celebrate birthdays. Anyone who's had a birthday in August or prior to that, or even the early part of this month if you want, now is the time. Let's celebrate them. Sweeter as the years go by. many happy returns to our birthday celebrants. I hope you have many more to come. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Psalm 15, we read, Lord, who may abide in your temple? Who may live in your holy hill? Those who walk uprightly, whose words are true and sincere, and who do not slander others, those who do these things will never be shaken. And we praise the Lord for that. And Susan is going to now lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Kids are coming up.
Bubbling, 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 dear. Hey, you guys got a jump.
one more time. I want to see a bit of jumping. You know, not very high, just a little bit. Okay, ready? It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing and rejoicing. Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand that I just can't be by it. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night.
Oh, thanks to Susan and the children. That was great. Very effervescent. That middle one, deep and wide, the faster we were getting, the more like the chipmunks we were starting to sound. Good job, Susan. Thank you. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you have given to each and every one of us this day, this great joy and privilege of being able to come together in this place, in your house, on your day. And we know, Holy Father, that when we come into this place, we are surrounded by a wonderful love that just sweeps all around us. We see your love from the faces of our friends, from the smiles, from the hugs, and we feel the gracious and wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Father, as we meet together on this day, this time of worship, we pray that you will open our hearts. We ask you to open our minds, and we ask you, Lord, to bless us with your holy word as we come and as we praise and worship the blessed name of Jesus. Accept the praise we bring, Lord. Bless us as we worship, for we worship you in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 14, verses 19 to 31, the Lord parts the Red Sea. Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went on through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. And if you would join me in the responsive reading, and it is from Psalm 114. When the people of Israel left Egypt, when Jacob's descendants left that foreign land, Judah became the Lord's holy people. Israel became his own possession. What happened, sea, to make you run away? And you, O Jordan, why did you stop flowing? You, mountains, why did you skip like goats? You, hills, why did you jump around like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the Lord's coming, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who changes rocks into pools of water and solid cliffs into flowing springs.
Our special music this morning is going to be presented for us by our very own Peter de Graaf. And when Peter does special music, he usually plays something which is relevant and significant in some way. So let's just all tune our ears in and see what he does for us today. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter. So what did you recognize in there? America the Beautiful and Eternal Father Strong to Save. Great. Thank you, Peter. Very topical and very beautifully presented. Thank you so much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Father, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Children, would like to come and join me, please? Put your hand up if you're not here yet. No. Why am I doing this? When do you normally light a candle? When what?
When guests are around.
When guests are around. Ooh, he comes from a nice home. They light candles when the guests come around. Yes. To make the house smell good? Is that what you have to do in your house? Okay. Yes?
To keep away mosquitoes.
To keep away mosquitoes, yes. Good. What did we celebrate at the beginning of the service today?
Birthday.
Yay! So tell me, when do we normally light a candle?
Birthday.
Yes! Excellent. Now then, I noticed that not one of you came out today for birthday, so none of you obviously had a birthday this month. Is that right? Okay.
Mine is September.
Yours is September. It's September now.
We mean December.
You're October the 30th. That's Halloween. That's scary, isn't it? October. Anybody got one nearer than October the 31st? Anybody? No closer than October the 31st? No? The 17th? October. But unfortunately, he won't be able to do what I want the birthday person to do.
My birthday is on the 28th.
Of December. That's no good to me. I'm going to have to stick with October the 17th, was it?
31st.
The 31st. Was that our closest one? Georgia? When's your birthday, Georgia? Sorry? In September? We have a winner. I hope you're going to help me because you're a little bit shy, aren't you? This candle is for your birthday. Okay? So we are going to get Georgia to blow this candle out. Now we're going to sing happy birthday first. We're going to do it quickly because we haven't got a lot of time. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Georgia. Happy birthday to you. Come and blow the candle out. You're going to have to come a bit closer. Hurry up before it collapses. Come and blow it out. Come on, bring your sister with you. She'll help you. Come, blow it out. Blow it out. One, two, three. Blow. 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 That's good. Blow that candle out. Whoa. There you go, it's gone. Whoops, it's on again. Whoops, whoop, we're on fire now. It's on again. What's going on here? Everybody sit down. How many times would you try to blow this candle out? 7 times? 70 times? 500 times? Ah, it's gone. That's good. Well, there you go. This is 5 times. Well, sometimes with this kind of candle, you know, it's one of these that keeps lighting. It's gone out now because it's finished.
But it reminds us something about what Jesus took. Whoa, the top again. No, that's enough. It reminds us something of Jesus taught us. Jesus said there's something that we have to keep on doing no matter how many times it takes. And does anybody know what it is? Jesus says we have to forgive one another. Forgive one another. And he says there's no ending to it. It's never ending. It keeps on going. And other than this candle, the only way to put this candle out is to put it in water. It's gone. So that's what we've got to remember. Forgiveness from Jesus and forgiveness to one another has to be never ending. Keep on forgiving like we had to keep on trying to blow that candle out. All right, so let's say a little prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you forgive us for the times that we do wrong and when we come back to you and we say that we are sorry. Help us, Father, to be as forgiving with one another as you, our Lord Jesus, are with us. We pray in your holy name. Amen. You tell me. No, there's nothing in there. Thanks, Kathy. Better move that water with the candle in because I might drink it. Thank you, Kathy. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Oh.
We come to our time of prayer. In our own lives, I think when we take a good look at our lives, we have a lot to be thankful for. That great old hymn, Count Your Blessings, you know, and it certainly applies to each and every one of us. And this morning, to get that news about that little boy, Kenan Hebert, being safely returned to his home during the night, it's just an uplift, because I'm sure all of us have been praying for this little boy, for his safe return, with his parents. You can imagine the anguish that they were going through, and to hear that he's home and it appears that he's unhurt. What a blessing. That's tremendous. It's great to hear of the people who are gathering, not only in New York, but all over the place, to remember the events of 9/11 10 years ago. And we are thankful that out of that evil that took place, that evil from terrorism, that the Lord has brought many, many blessings and many, many good things. And the God promises that. That's what the Lord promises us. That for those who love the Lord, everything works out. God brings good out of every situation. And for that, we are very, very thankful. And so shall we bow our heads and let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving and merciful Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your compassion and for your grace. We are thankful, Father, that you do not treat us as we deserve to be treated, as our faults and failings, we know, deserve punishment. But we thank you, Father, for your mercy, and that in Christ our Saviour you open your arms to us and you forgive our sins as we repent in humility. And we're thankful, Father, that you set us free from those things that oppress us, those things that bind us. And so we bow before you this day, Lord, and we thank you for these blessings. And we say, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Hear our prayers this day, O Lord, for our world, and for all who suffer at the hands of others. We remember, Lord, the events that took place on the 11th of September in 2001. And we pray, Father, for those who suffered in that disaster, for the families who lost loved ones, for those who were injured in their bodies or in their minds, for those who still suffer the consequences and the bitterness from that day. We thank you again, Father, for all of those who gave of their skills and of their talents in rescuing and restoring lives. And we are reminded again of our debt to those who today serve us in the many capacities of rescue and restoration following disasters on a national and on local scales. And Lord, although it is hard, as our Saviour Jesus has taught us, we pray for all of those who even now plot and plan and instigate schemes of terrorism and disaster upon our world and our peoples. We pray, Lord, that the day may come when their dedication may be turned aside from violence and channeled towards a more positive means of assisting their fellow men and women in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you, Father, for our church, for our church home, for our church family, and for the joy and the grace that we experience in this place. And so we ask you, Father, to bless every home represented here, to grant your peace to the one sitting next to us, and to look with grace and compassion at those who have not been able to join with us today in worship. And so now, Heavenly Father, in the silence of our hearts, we think of those whom you have placed upon our hearts to pray for and to care for, and we whisper their names now, Father, before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Gracious Father, we pray this day for the children who are recommencing their Sunday schools, and we pray for all of the volunteers who will be serving them and serving you in this capacity. And we pray, gracious Father, that your holy and precious word may touch the lives of each of these children. And we know, Father, that they in turn are great proclaimers of the gospel as they take that message and share it with others. Bless us, Holy Father, in the week that lies ahead. Watch over us, we pray, and protect us from anything that would harm us. And grant, Father, and we pray that we may be channels of your blessings to all whom we meet. Hear our prayers, Father, for we come to you and we offer them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we listen now to the word of the Lord.
The gospel comes to us from Matthew's chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, and is titled, The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And the epistle is taken from Romans chapter 14. Verses 1 to 12, and it's titled, The Weak and the Strong. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God.
Now, thanks to David for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing again to the glory of God, the hymn 392, Nearer, Still Nearer. Beautiful old hymn, and beautifully sung. Good job, well done. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A certain married couple, not of this congregation, had many sharp disagreements. Yet somehow the wife always stayed calm and collected. Well, maybe it is a couple from this congregation. One day the husband, in a calm moment, commented on his wife's great restraint in their heated moments. "When I get mad at you," he said, "you never fight back. How do you control your anger?" His long-suffering wife replied, I work it off by cleaning the toilet. Oh, said the husband, and how does that help? She says, I use your toothbrush. You can see all the bits sticking out of it there. A motorcycle patrolman suffered a minor accident one day, and it put him in hospital for a couple of days. And his injuries were to his foot and to his ankle. Then why, he wondered, did he feel this great compression on his chest, like something was tight and restricting him. So with some effort, he managed to pull down the hospital gown far enough so that he could examine what was going on here. And it turned out to be a large dressing across his chest, a great big one right across his chest. And on the bandage, which was stuck there, and he looked at it and he said, it looks like one of those sticky ones. And he had a hairy chest as well, so you can imagine what it was going to be like. And on their bandage was written the message, a gift from the nurse you gave the ticket to last week. It's pretty good to get even, isn't it? Good to get even. Or is it? I got another story. This one's courtesy of Pastor James Stockton. And he tells this great story about a judge in a Middle Eastern country who was trying to resolve a very difficult case. The wife of a deceased man was asking for the death penalty to be imposed upon the man who had killed her husband. She wanted to get even. Well, it seems that while the accused was in a tree gathering dates, he'd fallen out of the tree and he'd fallen upon the top of this woman's husband and he'd become fatally injured. He died. Was the fall intentional? The judge inquired. Were these men enemies? Well, no, the woman replied, but even so, I want my revenge. So despite the judge's repeated attempts to dissuade her, she demanded the blood price to which the law in that particular country entitled her. The judge even suggested that a sum of money would serve her better than vengeance, but to no avail. Finally, the judge summarized. He said, it is your right to seek compensation, and it is also your right to seek this man's life. However, it is my right as the judge to decree how he shall die. And so he declared, you shall take this man immediately, and he shall be tied at the foot of the highest palm tree. And you shall climb up that same palm tree, throw yourself off the top, down upon this man, and then in this way, he shall die in the same way that your husband died. There was silence. Total silence. Then the judge spoke. Perhaps, he said, you would rather take the money. So maybe vengeance isn't so sweet after all. To be forgiving is not natural. It goes against our natural instincts. Vengeance, retribution, getting even, these are our natural human qualities. And it's part of what is meant when the Bible says that we have a sinful nature. There are certain things that are built into us. It's natural for the human animal to defend itself, to snarl and to bite back when bitten, to howl when we are wronged. Mahatma Gandhi once said, if everyone followed the eye for an eye principle of justice, eventually, everyone in the world will be blind. And how right he was. Our lectionary gospel reading today comes from St. Matthew's Gospel, and it is the parable of the unforgiving servant. It's a story about our debt of sin. It's about God's free and redeeming grace. It's about anger and spite. And most importantly, it's about the judgment that falls upon an unforgiving spirit. So Peter asks Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? The old Jewish scribal laws looked at this problem and they came up with their own solution. This is what their old law says. If a man transgresses one time, forgive him. If a man transgresses two times, forgive him. If a man transgresses three times, forgive him. If a man transgresses four times, do not forgive him. And it's what's known as the law of limited forgiveness. It's almost like saying, okay, I'll let him off three times, but if it happens a fourth time, he's going to get it. I'm going to get him. That's really what it boils down to. It's not really forgiveness at all. It's like postponed retribution. So Peter comes to Jesus again and he says, how about if I forgive him seven times? And in the light of the old Jewish law by which they all lived, that sounded very generous. And Jesus' reply must have astounded Peter, because Jesus told him he must forgive 70 times seven times. 70 times seven times. Now the mathematicians will be working this out now, right? 490? 490 times you have to forgive. But of course what Jesus is really saying is that the number of times that we have to forgive has no limit. There is no limit on forgiveness. And then Jesus tells them the story about the unforgiving debtor. The first debtor owes the king 10,000 talents. Just to put that in perspective, one talent was equal to 20 years of pay. 20 years. So 10,000 talents equals 200,000 years pay. 200,000 years pay. So what we're really being told here is that the debt was so large you could virtually not calculate it, and you certainly couldn't repay it. In this story, the king is God, and the debtors are you and me. The one telling the story is Jesus, and Jesus is God. So God is telling us that our debt to God, to the King, is so large that it cannot be calculated and it cannot be repaid. Because of our sinful nature, our debt to God for the redeeming gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, is so huge that it would be impossible for us to repay it. Verse 27 reads, the servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. The king forgives it all. Now there's another interesting point here, because verse 23 begins with these words. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then Jesus goes on and tells the story of this unforgiving servant. So Jesus is here revealing to us what heaven is like. This is what heaven is like, Jesus is saying. An account is kept. And accounts do ultimately have to be settled. And the point is made here and again in the next verse where it says, as he began the settlement. There is a settlement. There is a day of reckoning. Accounts will be settled. If they're not already settled. If they are not already forgiven. So the guy with the unredeemable debt is forgiven. He's forgiven everything. And then he goes out and he hunts down another guy who owes him a tiddly-liddly amount of debt compared to what he owed. Amounts to virtually nothing. He grabs the guy by the throat and he begins to choke him. And when that debtor pleads for time to pay, he's thrown into the debtor's prison. And that is the entitlement of the one who is owed. The other servants who witnessed this display of spitefulness and vengeance were outraged, because they had just seen just how much this guy had been forgiven himself. And so these servants who saw this took their grievances to the king. And the king took care of business. The pardon of the unforgiving debtor was revoked. This is what heaven is like, Jesus says. This is what heaven is like. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is quite clear. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we are unable or unwilling to forgive those who annoy us, who upset us, who hurt our families, who hurt us, who insult us, or generally get under our skin, if we do not forgive them, God will not forgive us our huge debt. This is scary. This is pretty scary stuff, and it should frighten us. During World War II, the cathedral in the city of Coventry, England, took a direct hit during an air raid. Only the shell of the formerly magnificent House of God remained. They left the ruins just as they were, and they built a new cathedral right next to it. The entrance to the new cathedral is through the ruins of the old cathedral. You enter new life through forgiving the past. And in the courtyard of Coventry Cathedral, right where the altar used to be in the old church, there now stands a cross made out of the charred timbers of the roof of the bombed cathedral. It bears the words, "Father, forgive." Father, forgive. Forgiveness, Jesus teaches us, is the pathway to life, to new life. Dr. Lewis B. Smeads was a great Christian theologian, and he wrote a book called Forgive and Forget. And here's what he says in that book. Do you want to spend the rest of your life with a pain you did not deserve to get in the first place? Or do you want to get rid of it? There is one way to be healed. It is not one way amongst many. It is the only way. God invented it, and it does wonders for us. We call it forgiving. And God tells us to try it for ourselves. Forgive one another, Jesus says, as God forgives you. And finally, another quote from Dr. Smeads. When I genuinely forgive, I set a prisoner free, and then discover the prisoner I set free was me. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thanks be to God. Amen. We close our service this morning with our hymns, and first of all, we stand and sing to God's glory. 442, Take Time to Be Holy.
Find rest in Him always and feed on His
God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.